You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Can you imagine asking Tyra Banks who's your favorite dyke? I would fucking lose it to hear that.
I was going to ask her who's her least favorite dyke. Get her in real trouble.
I feel like she would say Ellen, but I don't even know if they know each other. They probably do.
Right. She would probably say one of the contestants from America's Next Top Model because she hated them all.
That's very true.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a dyke march for your ears. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're dyking out with writer Gabby Dunn.
Hello!
Welcome.
Hi, we're so excited.
Oh, thank you so much. I thought I'd join, make Melody feel bad about not having pink hair.
I know. I noticed that immediately. I have a pink shirt on. I'm
ganging up on you.
Pretty rude of you, actually. So
oh, it looks good, guys. You're looking
good. Thank you. We are stereotypes.
Well, before we get into things, a couple of quick announcements. Rate us on Spotify. I know we talk about rating on Apple Podcasts, but we forgot that Spotify has ratings now, and we need more of them. So 5 stars on Spotify. Do it. Smash it. And join our Patreon because we need money.
Boom.
And we'll talk more about money in this episode with the incredible Gabby Dunn.
Hello.
I have been aware of you for a very long time. I used to read your Tumblr in college.
Oh my God.
Melody's a fan.
In 2010, I used to sit and not do my college work and read 100 interviews. Like, this is...
What a blast from the past. But so many people, I don't think, know. Like, that's a deep cut. Like, that's from my past internet work. That's, like, one of the first things I ever did online, like, you know, under my own name. That wasn't just, like, being on forums when I was, like, in high school. That was, like...
Yeah.
That was such a deep cut. That was so long ago. Wow.
I know. I was going to talk myself down from bringing it up because I was fully in a parasocial relationship with you a decade ago. And I don't know.
For those of you that don't know, I was very big on Tumblr.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
What a wild ride.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, now I think Tumblr's coming back. But saying I was big on Tumblr dates me for sure. And that's so lovely. That's so sweet. Thank you.
Of course. Well... Gabby.
Yeah.
What's the gayest thing you did this week? Not in 2010.
Whoo. Well, I don't know. How many people just be like, fucking, you know?
Yeah.
I'm currently growing a mustache. That's not this week, but it is trying to happen, attempting to happen.
Nice.
I mean, It's in the process of happening. Yeah. So I say we count it.
Thank you so much. It's coming. I got a haircut and then I took some pictures of my haircut and I was like, ooh, the stash is coming in. So I felt good about that haircut. I went to a barber. Is that gay?
That is very gay.
Yeah, that's gay.
Can I just tell you, 20 minutes in and out, $30 haircut. Being a femme woman is a scam.
I know.
Scam. I know. It's a scam.
Yeah.
Should femmes go to barbers and say, just chop it? No frills?
Femmes can have short hair, absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, and mask people have long hair. But I'm just saying that, like, I used to pay, like, $300 for my fucking, like, on a good day for, like, highlights or whatever and like, a cut. A cut was, like, $80. Mm-hmm. Now, walk into a barber shop, the guy, like, is obviously confused by my existence, but cuts my hair.
My guy who cuts my hair is very no frills, and he'll even do, like, I mean, for New York, this is a steal, but it's, like, $60 if I just come in and have him cut it without, like, drying it, styling it, whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If he blow dries it, then it goes up to, like, $70, $80.
Right.
But that's, like, low for New York. And recently he started buzzing. Like, I'm a very hairy person. I do work against a mustache most of my life, but...
Me too. I don't know if it's testosterone or Judaism, but I'm leaning into it.
I think it's a combination. I do think I have a lot of testosterone and Middle Eastern heritage, but I have this, like... neck hair that grows, and without asking a few times ago, he just started buzzing it, and that's felt very mask. And I've never asked for it, but now it's just, it keeps growing back a little spiky. So now, because it's a short haircut and that part's exposed, he just keeps buzzing the back of my neck, and I feel very studly every time.
Wow, it does feel great when they buzz your hair. It feels really nice on your head.
Yeah, it does.
Then when it's like starts growing back in,
that's where we're at now. So now I just might start shaving it myself.
Oh yeah, you can, or do an undercut. That's gay.
Very,
very. I had the side shave for a while. Remember that one when that was in?
Yeah, I do. That's the picture on your Wikipedia, by the way.
Oh, it is, isn't it? I hate that picture. I gotta change it. That is probably still a style. I don't want to act like that's out of style. I'm sure it's still a style, but it was definitely like. There were straight girls with side shaves, and I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just read someone tweeted something like, side shaves are the, like, breakup bangs of queer people.
It truly is.
Carolyn?
Yeah.
What's the gayest thing you did this week?
I think it's a joint gayest thing, right? Unless you did something additionally gay, or...
Well, I had an answer.
Oh, okay.
But we could... Okay, I'll give my little gay thing, and we do have a joint one. Mine was just... I was going through my camera roll, and I have... I'm going to say, like, 50-plus pictures and video of me with an ammonite. I had my sister take so many pictures. I had a delayed flight out of Savannah. I was coming for my parents in South Carolina. My sister and I were driving me to the airport. I got a last-minute notification that it had been delayed by a few hours, so we just went straight into the city in Savannah, got drunk, and just moseyed around. The JW Marriott in Savannah, Riverside, has a amazing crystal geode museum.
What?
In its lobby. It's incredible. Incredible. Okay. Like, huge, very valuable crystals, geodes. There's a chrome-plated dinosaur in the lobby. It's very... beautiful, gaudy, all of it. Rainbow colors everywhere.
I love a Marriott.
I love a Marriott now. Like, they're, this is a plug. And now you, good with money, should they give me money for this? I don't know. This, they're not paying me to say this, but I'm obsessed with the JW Marriott in Savannah. And they did have an ammonite there, and it's pink, and it was huge. And I made my sister take real footage, pictures. So I need to delete. It's probably a gig's worth. And obviously, it was a nod to, it was going to be for the Dykes. I was going to make a reel out of it for our account. Did I? No, because there's 50 Pride events that happened since then. And
I like the idea that everyone's posting about Pride, and you're like, I went to the Marriott in Savannah and had the gayest time. Woo! You know what I mean?
I had to escape Pride and go to my parents for a weekend just to detox.
But is it gayer to have gone to that geode museum? Probably, yes.
I think so.
Of course.
If you look at pictures of it, the ceiling is covered with rainbow color. I think year round it's very rainbow in there. Very, very colorful.
An ally.
And a chrome-plated dinosaur? Come on. Stegosaurus.
Well, now I'm thinking, I guess I have a little gayest one that's not our joint one, but I think it was yesterday, I got way too invested in somebody's Instagram story about their dog that I never met, and I started crying.
Okay.
It was somebody that I met at Girls in Wonderland, and she posted about how her dog was having problems with his eyes, and then took him to the vet, and then was like, oh, got stuff, it's clearing up, and then posted and was like, he's doing better, starting to act normal again. And then the next post was like, he didn't make it. And it was just like twist, oh, and her dog died, and it was tragic. And like, I felt like somebody just like slammed a door in my face. Like, and I started crying, and I'm like, oh my God, I like just met this person, talked to them for a whole 10 minutes. Very cool.
Oh,
and I,
no.
You know, we followed each other on Instagram, and I'm like, yay, the dog's feeling better. Oh, so
yeah,
that was.
That's so upsetting. And that talk about parasocial relationship with a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so sad. Fuck.
Isn't that sad? I'm like, there. And Pride Month?
Homophobic.
You can't do that.
Wow.
Parasocial relationship with the animal. I think I had one this week, too. Did you guys see the Meriwether Post Pavilion had flooded during the Halsey concert? They really mismanaged. And, like, the stadium seats, there's, like, water rushing. Like, they couldn't control whatever happened. Maybe it rained really hard, and I don't know, something went wrong. It got to the point where it was like flooding by the stage, and there's a squirrel on the stage, and someone, I don't know if it was security or someone in the crew or someone who worked at the venue, just kicks this squirrel back into the water as it's trying not to drown. And it's I think Stereo Gum posted it. Very upsetting video.
What?
Everyone's calling for justice for this squirrel. We hope it made it. Terrible.
Jesus Christ. That is gossip that I am not up on. I'm not on Twitter. So you if you had said there's something going on with a squirrel and a flood and a Halsey concert, I'd be like, I you could be lying. I honestly have no idea.
It was so big it made it to Instagram, if you could believe.
Wow. Okay, I was going to say,
not my page.
Yeah, this is the kind of news you only get on Twitter, but apparently not. I feel like I do miss out on all these crazy stories by being off Twitter lately.
I don't know any zeitgeist. I got nothing. And I went on this podcast that was like a news podcast, and they sent like things to talk about. They're like, this is viral on Twitter. And I was like, I literally, what is the context for this at all? Like, yeah, I have no, I don't even know who these people are. They're like, so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'm like supposed to know because it's like big Twitter people. And I'm like, I live in the woods. Like, I have nothing to add.
We'll turn it around. Joint gayest thing that we had real quick is that Melody and I worked our first red carpet event last night and really didn't realize that we were working a red carpet event until we got there. We kind of weren't sure. We've never been asked to do anything like that before. Discovery Plus invited us to the Tribeca Film Festival to cover this slate of shows under this like Always Proud.
Mm-hmm.
I want to call it a campaign, but if it's Always Proud, is it a campaign? It's just like a state of being at Discovery Plus.
So you were interviewing people on the red carpet?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't know we were going to be doing that.
We thought we were asked to cover it in that we would
watch like a panel,
attend it, watch the screening and panel, talk about it, promote the show,
take some pictures.
Yeah.
We thought we'd just be...
We had no tech, no equipment, everyone...
setting up.
We're standing next to TV Guide and like Insider with their, you know, full-blown setups.
What did you do?
We took my phone and I had shown up, thank God, with my wired headphones.
Wow. And you recorded on your phone?
We used the mic... on this and had to extend it from, like, use the video camera and use the Apple old wired mic to interview Trixie Mattel, you know, producers of the show.
Oh my God.
It was so janky.
But we had the best time ever. And like, now I'm ready for the next one. I had so much fun because like the person next to me had like their index cards of questions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And Melody was running late and I'm panicking.
Persian Standard Time. Sorry.
And I'm like, Melody, look at this. Like, our name's on the floor. We have to stand here. They're going to be.
They wanted you to use the audio on the podcast.
I don't know what they were necessarily expecting from us.
We still don't know.
Yeah. We're going to like make a reel or something of it. And now we're talking about it, I guess. So we're doing our job. But
oh, they got you.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, the shows look great. We love Trixie Motel.
I bet I'm going to watch that.
Book of Queer.
And Generation Drag is the last one.
Ooh, Dr. Eric Cervini, who's the guy from Book of Queer. He was on Bad With Money, my podcast. I adore him. I adore his content. He's so great.
Yeah.
He's great. So, yeah, we like, he was on the red carpet and everything. So, I just text Melody and I said, I'm just going to ask everybody the same question and say, what's in it for the dykes? And, like, that'll just be our angle. And then we just started getting silly. We're like, okay, first question, who's your favorite dyke?
Oh, Trixie must have loved that.
Oh, yeah. Trixie really had fun with us. I think everyone had the most fun with us because we saw
people
come up to us afterwards. There was a screening, panel discussion, then, like, a cocktail reception. And people came up to us. They were like, I'm still thinking about your questions.
Yeah.
Those are really fun. Like, rather than just being like, what does this mean to you? Like, it's fun to ask stuff like that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things did go south a little bit when the contestants from Generation Drag, but what's the event that the
Dragutante.
Dragutante, yes. It's about these teens who are doing this drag competition in Denver, Colorado. They're here on the red carpet. It's their first red carpet event. I really don't know much about them. I'm assuming they're all like in their late teens, maybe. And then we're like, should we ask some questions? I don't know. What should we say? I said, well, I'll just ask them who's a dyke that inspires them. And Melody's like, don't use the word dyke.
Oh, because they get touchy about it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're very. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, they're drag queens. I'm going to use the word dyke. So I go to the first one. I was like, oh, do you want to answer questions for dyking out? And she's like, sure. So like,
she was so shy.
So shy. Like, terrified. I'm like, who's a dyke who inspires you? And she's like, what was that? I'm like, who's a dyke who inspires you? And she's like, I
would have to think about that.
Oh, yeah. No. And I turned to Melody and I'm like, you heard it here. She hates all dykes. And then she just looked terrified. And I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was just being silly. Oh. And then she got pulled away for pictures. I didn't have time to like apologize. And I'm like, well,
she looked traumatized. Like,
yeah, it was so bad.
Yeah, people, I can see how being on your first red carpet, you're like, this is a sort of gotcha question that I feared would happen. And honestly, this whole show is gotcha journalism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think I want to lean into it.
Carolyn was really energized after this, was like, I could really see us doing these red carpets. Like,
yeah, it's fun.
It's very fun.
I used to do them when I was a young person working at Huffington Post. And I did one for something to do with Harry Potter. And I went dressed in like a Slytherin outfit. And all the other reporters were wearing normal clothes.
Yeah.
And I interviewed like
Muggle clothes.
Right. Muggle clothes. And there's a video somewhere on YouTube that used to do really well. I must have taken it down, I think, although now somebody's going to find it. But it's me interviewing Darren Criss. Mm-hmm. And it was like right when he had just started on Glee. And I knew who he was from like the Potter musical. So I'm fully dressed in Slytherin outfit. This is like 20, I'm 10 years ago. I'm like 20 or maybe 12 years ago. And it's me interviewing Darren Criss and I'm in a Slytherin outfit. And he's like wearing a little Gryffindor tie. And he's one of the only people also dressed in like Harry Potter outfits.
Aww.
And that is a piece of history. That is a obscure media cursed video.
Countdown until a listener finds it.
Please, if someone finds it, let me know, because it's so weird. And I'm like wearing those like early 2010s, like little glasses, like tiny glasses. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't look great.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a crossover no one asked for.
Yeah, it seems so fun, and especially if you have an angle, which we do if we're just asking everybody about dyke stuff.
Absolutely.
So Tyra Banks was on the red carpet, but then
she's the EP on A Generation Drag.
Yeah, but she wasn't going to be taking any questions, so we couldn't. That was
we
the one I was like,
gotcha
so excited. I know, I was so ready.
Can you imagine asking Tyra Banks who's your favorite dyke? I would fucking lose it to hear that.
I was going to ask her who's her least favorite dyke, get her in real trouble.
I mean, I feel like she would say Ellen, but I don't even know if they know each other. They probably do.
Right.
She would probably say one of the contestants from America's Next Top Model because she hated them all.
That's very true. That's so funny.
So, yeah, Tyra is just like so Tyra. And I was loving her. Like every time she opened her mouth because she moderated a discussion about Generation Drag, I was like, ooh, what is she going to say?
Oh, my God. She moderated it?
Unhinged.
Oh, yeah. That is absolutely unhinged.
My favorite part is that she's like, I'm going to give you some advice, okay, now that you're going to be famous. First piece of advice, people are going to ask you for signatures. Don't sign your name like you would on a check. Okay, you need to find a very like cartoony signature, but don't do it like you would sign a contract. And I'm like, did someone sign Tyra Banks up for 10 timeshares?
Like yes. Girl, yes. What happened?
Was the second piece of advice like audit your accountant all the time?
No, it was engage your fans even if you're not in the mood.
It was at least make eye contact.
That's nice. I get that.
Yeah, don't be dismissive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then the one that Carolyn traumatized was like, well, I just get like feel like pressure a lot of the time. And I know I'm going to feel more when this, you know, I get more recognized. And what if I want to say no? Tyra's like, you do it anyways. OK, advice number three. This leads me to this. Find something about them. Compliment your fan.
Ooh, OK. I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's accurate.
And that was it for advice for stardom.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right. I would say number four, pay your taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you need to know.
With your real signature.
Yes, pay your taxes with your real signature, and everyone is lying to you, number five. And that's it. That's the whole thing.
Have fun.
Yep, have a good time.
That was fun. Well, we can't wait for those shows to come out, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Gabby? We're here to talk about you.
I was having a good time, but go for it.
Speaking of taxes.
I know.
I still haven't done mine. Please help me.
Oh, my God.
I filed for an extension, but...
Yeah. I do a podcast called Bad With Money.
Yes.
It's like a social justice queer lens on a finance show. I always say it's like we talk about finances and feelings and we don't talk down to you. I've been doing it since 2016, and it's always been like we try not to interview cis straight white men. That's just like if you can find one of those to talk about a topic, you can find someone else to talk about it. That's my philosophy. Yes.
Love that. When you started that podcast, because you weren't doing financial stuff before that, right?
Nothing. No.
Were you inspired by Capital One's commitment to Pride every June? This is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I need to.
Well, to be honest, I was an influencer, quote unquote, and I was getting a lot of campaigns, but I'll say their goddamn name. Lyft sponsored me for Pride and then didn't pay me for a year.
Well, we actually.
We talked about this. Yeah, you guys were on my show about corporate pride. So, yeah, I mean, truly what happened was I started getting like more visible on the internet, but I wasn't making any money about it. Yeah. And so I wrote this piece for Fusion called Get Rich or Die Vlogging, which was about friends of mine. It was like all about my group of friends and how we were all becoming really famous in like online video, but none of us had any money. And also that like friends of mine who were like very famous vloggers and they had secret day jobs. Like they had a day job that they pretended, oh, no, I make all my money vlogging. But they had like they worked at Starbucks or Topman or something like that. So I was doing Postmates at the time, but I didn't tell anyone. So I ran this article basically exposing all of this, and it went crazy viral, and it won like best 10 best pieces of reporting or something of that year from some place. I can't remember. Longreads, which is like, I always look at those because I always think they're really good. So I was very honored to be on the list that year, 2015. So I had done that. But I got approached to do a podcast, and they thought it would be maybe about LGBTQ dating or like a sex podcast or something. And I was like, can I do a show about money? And they were kind of like, you don't have any experience in that area. Like, why would your fans want that?
As a human living in America, you have zero experience with money.
Well, I wasn't like a financial expert. I wasn't a financial guru. So I was like, okay, I want to do the show from the lens of like, I'm going to learn everything publicly. So like the first season, I'm calling my bank on the air. I'm calling my student loan company on the air. Like I'm doing all this kind of stuff to learn myself and airing it publicly. So that was how the show started, was sort of me being like, I don't know anything. And then, I mean, it literally took 12 episodes for me to be like, oh, this is a system set up against us. Like, I thought I just was asking some questions. And then as soon as I peeled back the onion even one layer, it was like racism, homophobia, systemic problems leading to poverty, ableism. Yeah. And so really by like episode 5, I'm like, guys, this is bad. And I thought a lot of it was like my fault, or it was because I'm stupid or whatever. And very quickly I was like, oh, this is like, we are set up to fail. There is no class mobility. They punish you for class mobility. Everyone who's rising in any way is doing it in some sort of exploitative manner. Like, this is terrible. And then throughout the seasons of the show, we've just like kind of gone deeper and deeper where, you know, we do episodes that are about budgeting, that are about like, you know, things that you can do on your day to day. But we also do episodes that are like COVID's impact on tribal lands, or like fast fashion, or, you know, the one you guys were in, which was corporate pride. We did one about like the cancer industrial complex of like pinkwashing with cancer. And so like we do all these like episodes with practical advice, but it's not a show where you're going to get rich. It's a show that's like unpacking like why the US is the way it is, and then also like what we can do politically. And then we had one season that was like an international season where I covered other countries and things going on in other countries. And it's not like a step-by-step, you know, I'm Dave Ramsey and you have to cut everything out of your life to even afford a one-bedroom apartment. It's like a, hey, this is what's like actually going on, and I'm, you know, queer and trans, and so it's like always going to be through that lens because that's just who I am.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question. Why can't millennials just stop buying fancy coffees and buy houses?
Right.
Can you pick the avocado toast or the coffee or none of them?
Here's my thing with that. I say this a lot because it really stuck out to me, which is an editor friend of mine named Nona Willis Aronowitz was talking to me for my book about the concept of the millennial and the idea. And she was talking about how in every sort of generation, so like boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, the people that typify the stereotypes of like avocado toast and entitled office workers and, you know, coffee and all that kind of stuff, the people that typify the like generational stereotypes are white upper middle class people.
Yeah.
And anyone who doesn't like, you would say, right, oh, you're like a, you know, you're a millennial who lives in New York City and you work an office job and you want to go out for drinks every night and you don't have a savings account, blah, blah, blah. And that's like, oh, that's what millennials are like. But then if you go and you meet a person who's that same age, who like lives in a rural part of Texas, who's a single mom, who has two kids, you don't think of that stereotype as millennial. You're like, that person working two jobs is just poor.
Yeah.
So oftentimes in every generation, and I've confirmed this with my own research, every generation is typified by like, oh, the hippies, oh, the, you know, and largely these groups were, you know, Gen X being directionless. And it's sort of like typified by these upper middle class rich white people. And then every other group is just poor. Like the characters from Pose are Gen X, but nobody would ever go, oh, they're Gen X. You know, that sounds weird to say.
Ugh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like they're not in the background of Reality Bites.
Exactly. Like, they're not in things like Reality Bites.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
What was that original tweet that did it come from like a congressman or something? The one about like if millennials just stop buying fancy coffees and avocado toast or whatever.
Dave Ramsey says it. Everyone says it.
Yeah. Maybe it is cyclical and like once a year it trends on Twitter and then everybody gets like really angry and then starts being like, it's your fault. We don't have property.
I mean, completely. And also technology has really screwed a lot of that up. I mean, the rising housing costs are because of rental properties, Airbnb, that kind of thing. Back in the day, wages matched the cost of things. Wages matched housing. Wages matched gas. I talk about this in the new book, Stimulus Rec, which is my new thing that's out on, it's ebook and audiobook that's out on Scribd Originals. It's called Stimulus Rec, Rebuilding After a Financial Disaster. It's an addendum to the book Bad with Money that came out in 2019, because it turns out the last 3 years, we need to update some stuff.
Oh, yes.
And I can't find the original tweet anywhere. So if someone knows, please tell me. But there's a tweet that made me lose my mind, which was, the scariest part about serial killer documentaries is when they go, it was 1975. I owned a car from my part-time job at the gas station. And you're like, wait, what? And that is like, I was funny because it's like, you're right. Like, we're so affected by inflation that something like that bumps for us where we're like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
But that used to be the norm. People went to college for like $40. So how are we supposed to be compared to that? And student loans is a huge deal for a lot of people our age. But largely when people say, what is the biggest thing that could help people our age or Zillennials or Gen Z? It's like universal healthcare. That could take care of a lot of it. I think medical debt is really not spoken about, especially among queer and trans people. There's probably a lot more medical debt in terms of like IVF, trying to have children, or trans surgeries, or, you know, things that are oftentimes dental isn't covered or vision isn't covered in your insurance. And that's a whole separate thing. So then people like, you know, We just did an episode about medical tourism where people go across the border to Mexico for cheap dental care.
Yes, considering it myself.
Yeah.
My friend just went to Peru for dental.
Yep. So, I mean, it's at every turn, it's set up to be against us. Fair housing, you know, like a pause of evictions. I just like slowing of developing housing, that condos, things like that. Like that is all and this is like slightly controversial, but to me a little bit more pressing than the forefront that we put gay marriage to.
Oh yeah. No, for sure. It's so crazy. I mean, especially the pandemic made everything like a billion times worse, but housing in New York City specifically, the way that the rents have increased, way surpassing pre-pandemic levels, mm-hmm. and how fast it did that and how many people signed on to these like COVID rent deals and now can't afford where they live. They all have to move. I talked to so many people who don't know where they're going to live. People who have said, I might have to move back home because I can't find an apartment. Mm-hmm. Was just talking to a lawyer who couldn't find an apartment and is having to stay like basically in a storage room of a friend of a friend. Like mm-hmm. it's great. Like if a lawyer in New York can't find
right
housing, like what hopes does
right? Because it makes more sense sometimes for these people to do short term rentals, you know, to
right.
do a bed and breakfast type situation. But then it fills an apartment building with empty rooms. Obviously, it's like a way that people make money, but it does displace. I mean, even I just got a follow-up email about the medical tourism stuff, and this person was saying that they are Mexican, and they were like, we don't want them here. You know, it's part of gentrification. It's like coming and taking up sort of like resources and space because they're coming from like a wealthier country to access care down here, which is kind of an interesting flip side of what my episode covered. Which is why I like when the fans write in. But yeah, it's like this sort of like the housing stuff, you're just looking for cheaper and cheaper. And then it's sort of like, well, where do the original occupants of this neighborhood go? They're right. displaced. They're gentrified. Or honestly, in Los Angeles, the makeup of neighborhoods has changed so much over the pandemic. People are just homeless. Like people are just houseless. The unhoused population, like you can go down Los Feliz or like the east side of LA and it's just lined with tents.
Yeah.
And yep. everyone's just like, okay.
Yeah, a lot of that in Austin and LA, I noticed, just the encampment rows.
Downtown Los Angeles, they've basically written it off. I mean, nobody does anything. Like people do stuff, but like systemically, no. They've just been like accepted, like locked down, like, yeah, downtown LA is gonna be like this. And it's like there's so much that could be done that just isn't done. There's like politicians who could just sign things like right now, but they just don't. I think it comes down to like an American idea of I get mine and that's it. And I made it, so you should. And it affects, honestly, like queer people too, you know? I think a lot of queer people rise up in class mobility or in wages or become, you know, and then they build that attitude as well. And they don't really reach out to help other queer people as much because they're in survival mode. They're like, I made it. I'm safe.
Right.
I don't want to jeopardize that. Right. Even though it's like we're in a community. So I don't know. It's really, there's a lot of divide that I say in the book, there's a huge difference between, you know, Neil Patrick Harris and a trans woman of color doing sex work. You know what I mean? It's a wide range.
Well, speaking of wide ranges, I feel like there's such a gap in pay in the creative field. Mm-hmm. And I just saw Naomi McPherson from Muna posted a few days ago that they're all making basically teacher salaries. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have this idea that because they're Muna, because they're touring, because they've achieved this level of success, that they must be wealthy. And mm-hmm. Naomi, they were saying, I don't feel financially secure. And it's like, well, if Muna can't feel financially secure, like what
sure
hope is there for the rest of us? I mean, this kind of goes back to, you know, that work you did years ago around like money on the internet and that kind of stuff. But
well, I've talked about this a lot too. It's interesting because I think marginalized groups have to care more. So like I use an example of a friend of mine who's a Black trans woman who's a model. and she got a brand deal with, you know, a modeling job. And she was like, well, is the company ethical? Where do they make their clothes from? All of these things. And she was like debating all this time, you know, what do I want to put my face on? What do I want to co-sign as a black trans woman? Blah, blah, blah. And I kept thinking, I walked past that brand's shop in the mall. I saw all the models on the wall. And I said, you know what those models are? Just models. They don't think about this. They don't care. They do their job. Yeah. They get paid the $50,000 or whatever, and they go home. Yeah. And this person might not take the job because what it's a political all of a sudden for this person. So Right. It's like, I think a lot of us miss out on opportunities because we have to think about things collectively in a way that other people don't. You're not just a podcast doing an ad. You're a queer podcast doing an ad. So what does that mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, and we are really discerning and say no to a lot of things.
So do I.
Oh, and anything that's like body, like mm-hmm. weight loss, that kind of stuff is just like such a hard no for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, any weight loss stuff is a no, and they really pay a lot. And we're like, mm-hmm. yeah. There's a gif of like a little girl throwing money out of a window, and I just like send that to people all the time to be like, this is me saying no to brand deals.
Yeah.
By the way, we cannot help what Spotify puts on the front end and the back end. By the way,
the stuff we're not reading.
That is crazy.
It's all financial and it's all military recruitment.
I hate
and
it.
We have nothing to do with
we're
that.
We're sorry.
We can't help. We've tried.
It's so wild. Well, you know, it's interesting. You're talking about Discovery Plus. I love Discovery Plus, and I was watching some stuff. All of their commercials are like Republican political candidates.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Like sometimes they'll play commercial and it'll be like, so-and-so is an amazing like pro-police candidate, vote for whatever. And I'm like, that's weird. But then I'm like watching a crime show. So why wouldn't they think that I would be interested in?
Oh, so it's not even the like local ad that they put in for that spot?
They do. But it's like, okay. Of course, why wouldn't I want an ad about a pro-police candidate? But you know what's funny is that this is where they get me, is that these people, and I don't want to tell them how to market, but these people who are like anti-vax, pro-police, blah blah blah, then they take the leap to being transphobic so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's like, look, your marketing is sus, but like if you just I could be brainwashed, except you then go immediately to like, and pronouns are stupid. And I'm like, well, you lost me. I'm just kidding. I'm not into any of that other stuff, I promise. But you know what I mean? It's so weird how like gender has become tied in with like Republicanism.
I mean, I think anything that you can fearmonger around, except for global warming, apparently, like the scariest, like the actual
guns.
Threat. Yeah. Guns and global warming, like the actual threat to us being able to live to the age that, you know, nature intended.
No, drag queens are going to corrupt everybody. Drag queens are going to be the problem.
This is wild.
Like, and he doesn't even say it in the ad. He's like, in the ad, he's like, pro-military, pro-police. And then it like cuts to him on Fox News. And I didn't notice it at first. My partner noticed it, that the thing he's talking about on the Fox News clip that they show, which is like, they don't have the audio for it. They're just showing him on Fox. It says something like, gender identity takes over or whatever. So it's like a very subtle, like, hey, I'm transphobic too. Like, I'm with
sneaky.
You. But they like, don't say it. Sneaky. And I was like, who, like, literally, I don't understand. Make it make sense. Like, I don't understand how they're like this. And you're like, okay, yeah, you don't want to pay as many taxes. You don't want to whatever. And then they're like, also pronouns are dumb. And I'm like, what is the Venn diagram? Like, I don't understand. I think maybe the Venn diagram is protecting children, which like, sure, but also from like sexualization, whatever. But then you don't want gun control. So are you protecting them? Like, this is this is confusing to me.
There's zero logic to that side.
If you guys could just explain Republicanism to me and why they're transphobes, I would love to. Because it's either super Republican or it's like the really like radical feminist transphobes. Like we got it's like, what is the overlap here?
Feeling threatened.
Yeah.
Be threatened by guns that are actually shooting you.
Yeah. Concepts that are threatening.
They're like, okay, what are our things that we want to cover? We don't want to pay taxes. We want guns. We want the police. We like the military. Also, we don't want people to be the gender that they want to be, but just privately at their house, though. You know what I mean? Like, don't come and control me. I get to have my guns. Don't control anything. I don't want any government interference. Please regulate these trans people. Confusing.
Drag brunch will kill us all. I can't.
It's really unbelievable, but it is. It is believable. But I just, this is my, I guess, like Discovery Plus. If you want to like come in and explain this to me, I would love to.
Yeah, that's surprising to hear.
How did trans become the same as like Republican talking point?
But I also wonder though, then if they're looking at the audience data and saying like, oh, there are a lot of conservatives that are watching Discovery Plus, I can't wait for them to watch Generation Drag and see these parents be super accepting of their kids who want to do drag.
I want a lower third graphic pop up with like Trixie while they're watching this, like embedded banners.
Well, you know what's hilarious too? Is that like 99%, they're like, oh, this is a show that's pro-cop, so we'll advertise. 99% of these shows are like a journalist being like, and how did the cops bungle this?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Every murder mystery.
It's like, and then the cops never check the car and throw the evidence in the river. Anyway, cut to commercial. Doo-doo-doo is pro-police. And I'm like,
true crime wouldn't be a genre if cops were better at their jobs.
Exactly. 9 times out of 10, it's like,
there'd be no story build. It would just be like, yep, this happened. They found them. And then justice was served.
And then Michelle McNamara actually came in and changed the game. And
exactly. One woman with a blog. Like, truly, it'll be also like, and they mean it to seem empowering, but even with like Forensic Files, this is, I'm sure, what you guys wanted to talk about.
Of course.
I love it.
Even with Forensic Files, they'll be like, wow, we really dedicated our time to solving this, blah, blah, blah. Sure. But it's usually like one person, and it's like the storyline is like, I was a lab tech and I pushed and said, no, these fibers don't match. And then the cops are like, we did it. And it's like, no, it wasn't you. It was fucking like Joe Nerd over in the lab. Who solved this one, guys?
I'm always just picturing that like bisexual looking chick from NCIS, or what is the one with like kind of the goth?
Goth, yeah, Polly Perret.
Yeah. I'm like, that's who's analyzing all the samples.
Yeah, I always thought if I was more of an actor, I always thought that I would be good at playing like the morgue or like lab tech person on one of those shows.
You can still do it. There's
like
time.
The young person that they cut to, who's like explaining Facebook to the detectives. Like, that's what I want to be.
Yeah, my girlfriend's always wanted to be a dead body on SVU.
Yeah, like,
why? So she can squeeze a nap in?
Exactly.
She's a sleepy girl.
Well, hard shift, pivot. Tell us all about Grindr Baby.
Okay, so this is my short film that I directed that stars my partner, Mel Blum, and an amazing actress named Alexis Gisall. And it is based on a true argument that my partner and I had when we first started dating. It's about a queer non-monogamous couple that has to navigate a pregnancy test after the transmasculine partner has a one-night stand from a gay dating app. So whoa. I've been saying it's knocked up if Seth Rogen was pregnant. and so it got into Frameline Festival. It's going to be playing there end of June, which is awesome. And it's basically like the argument was like, you know, we're non-monogamous, and I was saying to my partner like, well, if you got pregnant from Grindr, like, we would just like abort it. And my partner was like, I don't know that I would do that. And I was shocked. I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, like, I don't know, I would have to think about it. And I was like, oh, we have to break up. Like, I'm not raising a Grindr baby. I didn't sign up for that. And so then we ended up resolving it. Obviously, we've been together 3 years, but
you can't let go of that term Grindr, but you got to do something with that.
Oh, come on.
You don't just throw that out in an argument.
One thing that I love is that I think I like queer content that is specific. I don't like, you know, sometimes it'll be like, oh, you clearly just like wrote a rom-com, and then we're like, wouldn't this be crazy if it was two girls? But but I like to make stuff that's like, this could only be happening to gay people.
Yes. Yeah.
And So that's where I wanted to make it. And then it's been so fun because, you know, I've been promoting it and putting it online and stuff. And I've had like 4 or 5 people approach me and say, oh, I have a baby from Grindr. Like, I got pregnant from a Grindr hookup. Or I've had like transmasculine people be like, I've never seen myself represented before. Not a once. Like, this is so many people have been like, I can't believe like I'm watching something about polyamory with like a trans mask partner. Like, just not seen that much. And so that's been so fun. I have gotten the occasional transphobic comment about it, but because people don't want to believe that trans men can be pregnant. But it's been really good to see a very positive reaction to something that is so unapologetically queer and isn't really, like, a lot of people have been like, cis people who've watched it has been like, I've never thought of this before. What would you do if this happened? You know, they're like, yeah. Whoa. I think cis people don't think that trans masks can be gay also. Like, they're sort of like, yeah, they see right. it as like an extension of lesbianism. So they're like, you have a girlfriend, right? And it's like, a lot of them are real gay.
Yeah, Jess Tom's talking about this a lot in their stand-up about how once they started doing testosterone, it kind of changed their orientation and they started becoming attracted to men.
Yeah.
After being hard lesbian.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a transmasculine person. I've always been bisexual, so I never had an issue with it, other than now I think the people that are dating me have to maybe grapple with being queerer than they anticipated.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's something that Mal and I wrote together, and then Mal stars in it, and like, it's doing well. I can't say more things, but it's been doing well, and I want to make it a feature. I would love to make it a movie. I think it's like a fun queer chosen family rom-com-y type thing. I want them to be like trying to find Grindr guy.
Yeah.
Because in the short, they're like, he deleted his profile and they don't know where he is.
Yes.
Do they need to tell him about the baby or not?
Oh man, I love it. Right?
Get on Hulu, the Ally streamer.
Right?
Right.
They are doing a lot of gay stuff lately.
They really are.
Yes. Good for them. Yes. They kind of are carving out a niche, which is cool.
They're mm-hmm. leaning in. They're trying to get H into the acronym. They're trying so hard.
LGBTQIAH.
That's what the plus is.
Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, intersex,
asexual,
Hulu.
We keep wanting to be more inclusive.
I'm ready for that green flag, baby.
It's just green. Oh my god.
Oh, I wish I was at the Dyke March this year. I would carry a Hulu flag.
Just a Hulu. That's such a deep cut.
Yeah.
And that is so funny to like 5 people.
Yeah.
You know what I have? Do you know the podcast Gender Reveal?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a shirt that's merch of theirs that is the deepest of deep cuts, where it's, do you guys know that RuPaul tweeted like happy trans visibility day, but then had the flag for trains?
No, wait.
Because he had clearly Googled trains flag. So then he posted, and I love RuPaul.
How did I miss this? Me too.
Posted happy trains visibility day with the trains flag. So then Gender Reveal made a shirt that says trains flag in the black flag band logo, but it's the trains flag. So it's like 4 layers of jokes to what this is about. But whenever I wear it and someone recognizes it, they're like, this is the funniest fucking thing.
Yeah, you should just exchange numbers.
It's funny to 5 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
So they made it, Gender Reveal made it part of their merch, which I love.
I love that, and I can't believe I missed that tweet. Must find.
Yeah, that's amazing. Google it. It's the funniest. You have to know like RuPaul and also Black Flag and also like trans. Like, it's just like so many Venn diagrams of, and I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah, it's like you have to be Evie Oddly.
Exactly, and that's it. Well, you know what I like? I love when stuff is just funny to us. I think that's great.
Yeah. We love specific things.
Specific, yes. And you can tell when someone is specific.
We do need to wrap up. We have one more question.
Yeah.
Do you have any gossip to tell us?
Gossip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be so benign.
We're hungry.
Oh my God.
Give us some gossip.
Oh my God. I have so much. I'm a Gemini. All I have is gossip. Well, people were mad, but you guys heard about Sarah Paulson and Jessica Chastain, right? You guys heard that rumor?
That rumor, yeah.
That was a little bit older. And then people were like mad, being like, this outs Jessica Chastain. Like, she doesn't care, I'm sure. Yeah. But also, like, she's fine. That made me sad because I love Holland Taylor. And I was like praying it was not true.
But what if they're open?
Yeah, maybe they're open. Maybe they're open.
That's what made me excited about it, because I was like, oh my gosh.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Well, yes, but also that to think that like Sarah Paulson and Holland Taylor are like, it's just like this whole other level.
They're like queens. They're like the queens of all of us. But I have a question, and this is something people hate. People get so pissed when you speculate about people's sexuality, blah, blah, blah. But like Zendaya's queer, right?
Feels queer, for sure.
Right?
Femtop.
Wait, I thought that was like a thing.
I don't think she says it. She is pegging the shit out of that boyfriend, right? I love Tom Holland. I love him. We have the same birthday. I have like a weird relationship where he's like both my son and my crush. And like, I just, their energy is so like femtop bottom boyfriend. Do you know what I mean?
The way she has her hand on the small of his back.
And on the small of his back. And he loves it.
It's so cute.
Whatever energy they have is like me and every boyfriend when I was cis.
Yes, every boyfriend I'd ever had had a very feminine energy, and
of course,
was usually petite, and I was either their height or, you know, they might have been an inch shorter.
You walk around, you have your arm over them like daddy. That's what Zendaya's giving me. So that's my gossip that I've made up in my mind.
Beautiful. Yes.
Perfect.
That's the thing about gossip. It can be made up in your mind. Let's get these rumors going. Gabby, tell us about the projects that you want our listeners to follow, check out, your book, where can they get it?
Okay, so my podcasts are Just Between Us and Bad With Money. My newest book is an ebook and an audiobook. So if you loved my voice, you can hear it reading the book for free for 60 days at try.scribd.com/done60. Free, 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 all free. It's called Stimulus Rec, and it will help you with money. And also, you can watch Grindr Baby either on my YouTube channel, or if you want to see it on the big screen, you can see it at Frameline Festival on the 18th and the 26th. And then they have a digital screening room. I think mine is going to be on the 24th. But if you go, you can watch it live on your computer on the digital screening room, too. It's under Tutti Frutti Shorts.
Nice.
Beautiful. And you can follow us everywhere at Dyking Out. You can follow me at TGI Carolyn.
You can follow me at Melody Kamali. Did we get your handle? Do you want to be found?
Oh, yes. I do want to be found. I'm at Gabby Road, GABYROAD, which is, you guessed it, a stupid Beatles pun, because I didn't think Instagram was going to take off. So don't take my investing advice. I have guessed for that. The website's GabbyDunn.com, but like, yeah, mostly I'm on Instagram and TikTok, Dabby Gun on TikTok.
Nice. I mean, most of them are already following you, so this is
cool.
A few who aren't.
You've been around since the dawn of time, like Melody has.
Tumblr days.
Rough. So rough.
I can't. We gotta talk.
Thanks everyone for diking out with us.
See you next Tuesday.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.